Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. We praise you because you are worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We join with the angels and all of creation in worship. God, we confess that our affections are easily swayed, our minds easily wander. Would you forgive us for our waywardness as we chase after satisfaction and hope apart from you? Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood by which we can approach the throne of grace as beloved children. We can approach a holy God and call him Father. And God, we thank you for the ways that you are working in Taiwan, how you are with the CYCU team, that they were able to share your truth, your gospel with the students and also their testimonies. Would you grow the seeds that were planted that they may know your unfailing love through Jesus? God, we also pray for the Japan VGM and UK teams. We pray that you watch over their preparations, that you guide their planning. Would you equip them for the task you have set before them? Would you give them clarity and vision for your kingdom, that more may come to personally know you? And God, we lift up those among us who are struggling and suffering, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. We ask that you be with them and you meet them where they are, that they know that they are seen by you, that you know exactly what they're going through, and you don't shy away, but you step into it with them. May you be their hope, their healer, their provider, their deliverer. And God, we pray for our time together this morning that you would speak your truth to us and that your truth would nourish our souls. So we commit ourselves in this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The passage, scripture passage for this morning comes from Daniel 3. It's a long passage, but if you can remain standing for the reading of God's word, here is scripture from Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. "There are certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. "Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, filled with fury, was filled with fury. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men, bound men, into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like the son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came down near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. Their hair, the hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Quick reminder for those of us who are in the balcony. This Sunday, we will be partaking in communion, so we invite you to join us on the ground floor sometime between now and the end of the message. Hello, friends. My name is Grace Lee. I'm an intern minister here at RCCC, mainly working with the children and the youth. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. So as we just read, there are a lot of things going on, a lot of action, a lot of drama happening in Daniel 3. But before we dive in, I want to set the scene for us. In the beginning of Daniel chapter 1, we see that God let the Babylonians conquer Israel and take their leaders and their competent Israelites, the best of the best, into Babylon to train them in Babylonian ways. Daniel and his 3 friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, are among the Israelites exiled to Babylon. And when they arrive there, they are renamed Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They undergo re-education, but as they're learning Babylonian ways, these four refuse to eat the food offered to them that was previously offered to the Babylonian gods. And God blessed them for their faith, and he honored them. In chapter 2, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream that no one in his entire empire could interpret except for Daniel. And by God's power, Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, saying that his empire and all the empires after him would inevitably fail. Only the kingdom of God remains forever. And King Nebuchadnezzar is in awe of Daniel and his God, so he promotes Daniel and his 3 friends, and in that moment calls Yahweh the God of gods. And now we get to today's passage. As you read through the entire passage, you'll notice that Daniel, the author, uses a lot of repetition to paint a picture of what's going on here and to emphasize the important parts. So I made a word cloud for us to help us visualize this passage and serve as our guide as we walk through it. Right out of the gate, King Nebuchadnezzar must have forgotten the amazing power of God or was hyping up his own ego, so much so that he builds for himself a 90-foot tall golden image. And he sets this image, gold statue, in a flat plain in Babylon so that everyone can see it. He gathers all the important people, all the representatives of his empire, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come behold this golden image. This long list of invitations is repeated again in verse 3. King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't want anyone to miss out. He wants everyone's attendance at this event. All peoples, nations, and languages. He gathers his kingdom, and by his decree, when they hear every kind of music, all should fall down and worship. The purpose of this huge gathering is worship. King Nebuchadnezzar desired to unite his empire together in allegiance and worship of the Babylonian gods, and to make a name for himself as king of the vast Babylonian empire. And if you're thinking right now, this sounds a little familiar, you're right. This is an echo of Genesis 11, when man gathered in a flat plain and united together, building a really tall tower to reach the heavens, trying to make a name for themselves, the Tower of Babel. The people of Genesis 11 were saying, God, we don't need you. We're good on our own. We should be praised for the things that we can do. And by ourselves, we can accomplish anything we put our minds to. The Tower of Babel is a symbol of blatant defiance against God. And here in Daniel 3, we see King Nebuchadnezzar repeating the defiance against God, trying to make a name for himself by uniting all the people, nations, and languages to fall down and worship the golden image he set up. And most people back then were fine with worshiping this golden image. Many religions were pluralistic. You have your gods that you worship. I have my gods that I worship. That's all good. The only thing is that if my army beats your army, that means my gods are stronger than your gods. So yeah, you can worship your inferior gods if you want to, but you must worship my superior gods, especially in public. So everyone gathered at this gold statue. I was like, all right, nothing new. The natives of Babylon were like, yay, Babylon, we win. And the exiles were probably like, well, Babylon conquered us, so their gods are stronger. Also, we don't want to burn to death, so let's just bow down and worship, then hopefully we can beat traffic on the way home. And as we read, when all the peoples heard every kind of music, they fell down and worshiped the gold image, except for three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here we see the height of interplay between two repeated Hebrew words, kum and nafal. Kum means to arise, to stand. It's used 9 times. The golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar sets up stands up. Kum. And nafal is easy to remember. It means to fall. When the people heard every kind of music, they were to nafal down and worship it. And while everyone was nafalin, these three young Jewish men remained kum, standing. When the only thing that's supposed to be standing by the king's decree is the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar stood up. So when King Nebuchadnezzar finds out about this, he's really angry because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego disobeyed his decree. They were challenging his authority. They were dishonoring himself and his gods. They were standing up and blatantly defying him in front of everyone. He was furious and confronts them. Yo, maybe you had something in your ear? But we're going to play the music again. And when we do, you better fall down and worship the statue. If you don't, you'll immediately be thrown into the fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? What a bold challenge King Nebuchadnezzar utters to God. We are in Babylon. I am the king. I have all the power. My gods are the strongest. What God can deliver you from me? King Nebuchadnezzar is asking a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious to him and to everyone else around him. No one. No God can save these three from the fire or out of the king's power. He's not expecting an answer. He's expecting that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would obey him, that they would fall in line and fall down and worship his statue, especially with the threat of death becoming more real. But to King Nebuchadnezzar's surprise, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remain standing, and they answer him, verse 17, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. If we are thrown into the furnace, our God is able to save us. He will deliver us. You asked who can save us? Our God can." What a bold answer. But they don't stop there. Verse 18, "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." But if not, even if God doesn't save us from the fire today, we want to make sure that you know we still won't worship your statue. Our allegiance is with God alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed that God was able to save them from the fiery furnace. What they didn't know was if God would choose to save them from the fire that day. But either way, God's choice wouldn't change their allegiance. Sam Storms writes, "They were ready to obey whether God chose to deliver them from the furnace or not. They found their object of affection in God himself, not in what God did for them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God himself, the God who commanded in Exodus 20, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make images of any kind, and you shall not bow down nor worship them. They loved God himself who covenanted with them. You are my people, and I am your God. They loved God himself, so they gave their worship to God alone." And upon hearing this, King Nebuchadnezzar is filled with rage. He orders the furnace to be turned 7 times hotter, as hot as it can go, so that there is no human possibility of escaping death. And the three are bound and thrown into the fire. Ironically, the only time Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall down is here in verse 23. They fell down, nafal, in obedience and worship to God alone, into the fiery furnace. And we see that God is mighty to save, that there are not three bound, consumed by fire, but unexpectedly four unbound, free persons walking around in the midst of the fire, and the fourth looked like a son of the gods. Now, there are different views on whether the fourth person was pre-incarnate Christ or an angel of the Lord, but one thing is very clear. God sent his representative, his personal presence, to be with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And God protected them, and his salvation was total and complete. Verse 27 says, "The fire had no power over their bodies. Their hair was not singed, their cloaks not harmed. They didn't even smell like smoke." And there was nothing left for King Nebuchadnezzar to do but to acknowledge the power of the Most High God. "Indeed, there is no other God who can deliver in this way." There's a lot we can see from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was so much pressure for them to conform. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do, right? They're in a foreign nation. They're given new names. All the other Israelites are bowing down to the golden image. And if they disobey the king, that's the end of their careers. Also, God didn't save them from being captured and exiled. God didn't save their homes from being destroyed. Why should they be loyal to God who allows all this to happen? And if that wasn't enough, on top of that, there's punishment by death, by fire. Friends, the allegiance of the heart is a daily battle. We constantly hear, when in the world do as the world does? But brothers and sisters, we aren't home. A lot of times we might forget, but we are foreigners here. Heaven is our home. And when the world sets up, stands up, golden images that catch our eyes, there is so much pressure from without and within to fall down and worship them. Everyone else is doing it. It's the way to succeed. Sometimes we set up our own images, grades, sports, career, money, reputation, dreams, friends, family, even our own self. And these are all good things, yet when we stand them up and raise them high and fall down and worship them, we deny God. And Satan is so clever. He doesn't necessarily say, stop worshiping Jesus. He's fine with pluralism. Yeah, sure, you can worship Jesus while you're at church or whatever. But also remember to bow down to your GPA. That number is going to determine your future. Remember to get that work promotion, no matter what the cost. That's your life purpose. You gotta provide for your family above all else. And you can't forget about your own personal happiness. That is king, because in the end, that's all that really matters. I know if I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I would have been so tempted to say, hey guys, so we've been standing around for quite some time now. Maybe we can sit down, you know, take a little rest. And in my heart, I might secretly hope that sitting down would be less noticeable than standing up. Maybe I could avoid the fire without actually bowing down to the golden image. Friends, every moment there is a battle for our hearts, for our affections, for our worship. When do we stand? Or to what or whom do we fall down and worship? Yes, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were heroes of the faith. Their faith was powerful, but it's only powerful because the God in whom they put their trust in is powerful. God alone is able to deliver his covenant people from the fiery furnace, even while they are in exile. It's all about the God who sent his personal presence into the fire to be with them. This is the same God who sent Jesus Christ to earth to dwell with us. And Jesus suffered and stepped into the fire for us. He was obedient unto death. God chose to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that day. But he did not spare his son, who bore the full wrath of God on the cross for our sins. He was forsaken, and alone he died. But death could not hold him down. He rose again, victorious, conquering sin and death, so that we who believe in his name may have everlasting life. Because of Jesus, God promises we will never be alone in our suffering. There is another in the fire with us, a Savior who knows our pain and our tears, who walked through the fire before us and walks with us through it now. In Isaiah 43:2, God promises his people, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I know we live in this time in history when believers already experienced the grace of salvation, but the complete redemptive work of Jesus is not yet fully realized. At times we see the inbreaking of God's kingdom here on earth, but we also cannot deny that everywhere we look, there is sin, pain, suffering, injustice, and brokenness. Jesus tells us to expect trials and sufferings, that we will be thrown into furnaces of adversity as we follow him. Some of us have experienced these flames and God's deliverance through them. Others have yet to experience it. Some of us are in fires right now that God might not choose to deliver us from this side of heaven. And yes, God uses suffering to refine us and grow us, but beyond that, I don't know the answer to why God sometimes chooses not to deliver us from our suffering and pain while we're here on earth. But what I do know is that God promises to be with us in the fire. He promises that the fire will not overcome us. He will bring us through it and ultimately deliver us. Tim Keller said, yes, God can rescue you from death, but he will always, if you're a believer, rescue you through death. One day, Jesus will come again, and when we are brought home, there will be no more pain, no more sorrows, no tears, no suffering. And we will be face to face with our God who is able and will deliver us. This is the hope we have in Christ. I thought it might be fitting to end today's message with a song that has been on my mind while preparing for this message. It's called Even If by Mercy Me. And it's an outcry of a believer singing out to God who is currently in fire. I know this song isn't really a typical congregational song, but I invite you to reflect on the lyrics and join in singing when you are able. A few weeks ago, we held a week-long music camp for youth in which we taught about praise and worship. And one of the things that we learned was that when we sing out loud, we are praising God, and we are also reminding each other and ourselves of what is true. So I invite you to sing together to the Lord while reminding each other and ourselves of our hope in Christ.